the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salaam alaikum. This is another episode of today's special, which you are listening to. We're going to speak about motherhood in Islam. Today, Saturday, is the 16th of Jamadil Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 9th of day, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar and the 30th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verse 23 of chapter Isra from the Holy Quran, and then we'll learn more about it.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما.
And your Lord has decreed that you not worship except him, and to parents good treatment, whether one or both of them reach old age while with you. Say not to them so much as uff, and do not repel them, but speak to them a noble word.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Placing unity monotheism, which is the most fundamental principles of Islam, alongside with being kind and good towards one's parents, is a further emphasis laid on this important Islamic commandments. Later, it refers to one of the clear examples for kindness to one's parents, implying that whenever one of them or both reach old age while living with you, that is when they need your constant care. Do not spare them in any act of kindness, and do not despise them or scorn them by insulting them the least. That is, even stop uttering the slightest despising murmuring sound.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
Motherhood in Islam is the topic of this episode. A mother's role in Islam is monumental. A bond between a mother and a child is no doubt the most cherished and forms the basis of all life. A mother carries a child in her womb for 9 months, gives birth to it, nurtures the child, many times sacrificing her needs for the sake of child. There are numerous quotes in the Holy Quran and Hadith which highlight the importance of parents, in particular the mother. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "Your heaven lies under the feet of your mother."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. We shall be talking again the status and position of women. Lady Fatima Zahra is the most perfect and supreme lady of the world, who is known as an innocent daughter, wife and mother, as we said earlier, with nicknames and epithets of Sayyidatun Salah Alameen. This lady of Islam deserves to be in situations and occasions related to her personality, and she should be mentioned as a role model for all women in the world, especially for Muslim women. Special emphasis on role modeling of her character makes the sensitive and special periods of her life stand out as a role model for Muslim women. We also see that one of the important stages of Lady Fatima's life is presented as a model for young people to marry, the final phase of the short life of daughter of the Prophet, is a good opportunity to express the virtues and life of this holy lady of Islam in all aspects of her life, as well as to honor the status of a Muslim woman and mother in the Islamic society.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
So on the continuation of this episode of today's special, we'll look at the qualities of a mother. A deep love for her child is one of her qualifications. A mother's love is unmatched. Whether young or old, healthy or handicapped, troublesome or obedient, the child is still beloved to the mother. This love may be displayed in various forms. Sometimes children misinterpret scoldings and rebuke to be a sign of lack of love. It's important to assure the child that he's always loved, even when his behavior warrants disciplinary measures. Such a child becomes confident and happy and will never seek solace elsewhere. The love of the mother becomes a source of happiness and peace at home. Children feel attached to the home because of the mother.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all.
So in this part, we get familiar with tips for Muslim mother. One of these tips is always be blessed for having children. This is the having the children. Your children are a gift from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects you to be efficient enough to be worth that gift. He wants you to make your children a perfect Muslim and a constructive part of your society. So feel that responsibility on your shoulders, but don't panic. Although the responsibility is tough, Allah is with you. Prepare yourself mentally to be on duty 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Motivate yourself for all the upcoming challenges in bringing up your child as a Muslim mother.
In fact, as Muslims, for us, every day should be Mother's Day. Every day you should remember your mother and celebrate your mother. And one of the most important teachings in the religion of Islam is to respect and love and show ihsan to your parents, especially your mother. There's a specific insistence on the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَن لَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you do not worship anyone other than Allah and Second, that you have to show ihsan. You have to show love. You have to show compassion. You have to show obedience to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. You see, this order, it comes immediately after not obeying anyone other than God. So one of the most important, the first message of all of the prophets is Tawheed, no shirk. And the second message is Ihsan to the parents. You have to respect your parents. What does Ihsan mean? Ihsan means that you have to always be the one who serves the parents. You have to always be the one who's doing good towards the parents. And we are not ordered to deal with everyone with ihsan. For example, with your brother, with your neighbor, with your cousin, with your family member, you deal with them with ma'ruf, what's right. You deal with them with justice. For example, if someone abused you, if someone spoke ill to you, you have the right to get your haq. You have the right to reciprocate, even though you're not supposed to. But can you reciprocate with your parents the same way you reciprocate with others? No. With your parents, you have to deal with them with ihsan. Meaning that even if they did injustice to you, and this happens a lot. Many times, some of the parents, they do wrong. They do injustice to their kids. Even if they did injustice to you, do you have the right to do the same to them? You cannot do that. And this is what ihsan is. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you have to treat them with ihsan.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special about Muslim mother. Inshallah, we continue to know more about this topic on the next episode of today's special. So follow us at parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a famous statement from Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the immaculate daughter of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. After your departure, O Prophet, inequities and intrigues took shape and variant voices were raised. If you were present, all these differences and deviations would not have taken place. Take pieces of bread from me. and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about, in this hadith, the Prophet warns us of the danger of having a bad end and of having a bad final outcome. Now, what this means is that a human being can live a life of a Muslim, a good Muslim, mu'min, and be very pious throughout his life, but that can change. You know, in the end of his life, he could end up dying as a disbeliever, and he could end up departing from this world and this dunya in a very bad state. Right, so the criteria by means of which we can assess whether a person is really good or not is his final outcome, how he leaves this world. In history, it's been narrated, a lot of people live very good lives as pious and believing people, but they ended up leaving this world in a very bad state from the point of view of their faith. So for this reason, we should be very careful and diligent that this doesn't happen to us. The Prophet said, "The believer is continuously fearful of a bad end to his life and remains uncertain of attaining the pleasure of Allah until the angel of death appears and takes his soul." And he also said, "Verily, a man may carry out the actions of the people of paradise for a long period of time, but end his life with the actions of the people of paradise." As you know, one of the prayers that the believer recites all the time is, "Allahumma ij'al awaqiba umurina khayra." O God, allow the end and the termination of our affair to be good. And it's also been narrated that a lot of the noble scholars were once asked if they were to be granted a prayer that was accepted, what would that prayer be? And many of them said that prayer would be that God allowed them to depart from this world in a good state. It's been also narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not be amazed by the good actions of anyone until you see his end. For verily, one may perform good actions for a period of his life, that if he were to die during that time, he would enter paradise. But he subsequently changes, and then he commits evil actions. Right? And the converse is also true. Sometimes people were, lived very, bad lives, but they ended up departing from this world in a very good state. And if we want to know what brings about a good final outcome, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, if you want Allah to protect you from an evil final outcome, then know that whatever good that comes is from Allah's grace and divine succor, and whatever bad that comes, know that Allah has delayed it for you, and you have already been given respite for it. So be aware of Allah's clemency and pardon for you. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at what brings about a good final outcome in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I really welcome Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah as well in this session. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Hussein.
Wa alaikum salam.
Are you fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan, how are you?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, we hope, inshallah, you are as well fine. The good, the best listeners of all time. So today, inshallah, without wasting the time, we'll move on to ayah 164 of Surah Ali Imran on page 71 of the Quran Kareem. So if you have Quran with you, brothers and sisters, please turn to page 71, ayah 164. All right? So everybody, let's listen once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter. So the same as our previous sessions, we will have a short explanation, inshallah, about this ayah. Then we'll move on to the important tajweed rules, practical ones, and inshallah we'll practice the recitation as well. All right? So, brothers and sisters, please stay with us till the end of this session. So, Allah Almighty in ayah 164 of Surah Ali Imran on page 71 says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So, Allah Almighty says, Allah certainly favored the faithful, the mu'mineen, when he raised up among them an apostle, a messenger, a prophet from among themselves, right? To recite to them his signs and to purify them and to teach them the book and wisdom. And earlier they had indeed been in manifest error. So, Allah Almighty talks about an important part of our belief, an important part of our principle, the Islamic principles, okay? The five principles. Tawheed, the first one, the roots of Islam. Tawheed, Adala, Nabuwa, Imama, and Qiyama. We have these five principles, yes? We must, as a Muslim, we must believe in them, right?
Yes.
And also, we ourselves must come to this understanding that we have Tawheed, Allah Almighty, then Allah is just, Allah has sent prophets and imams, and we will have the day of judgment, right? So one of the important principles, the third one is Nabuwa. After we understood that Allah Almighty is one, He is wise, He is adil, He is knowledgeable, He doesn't create things without purpose, and also He does not leave human being without a guide, all right? Without a teacher, without a, a light, light of guidance, yes? So, in this case, Allah Almighty must do something for the human being. He should not leave us alone. Like we ourselves, if we are left alone, okay, so we'll do anything we want. Maybe we will do a lot of things which are harmful to us, okay? And it will harm our hereafter life, our akhirah. So that's why Allah Almighty appoints what? Messengers, apostles, okay? From the human being, for the human being. From among the human being, for the human being, okay? Allah Almighty sends prophets, okay? The first reason is, in the Quran it says, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, to recite the signs of Allah Almighty to the people. To help the people, okay, understand God, know God better, to have a better communication with God, okay? This is the first reason, objectives. Second one, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify the souls of human beings. Allah Almighty says in the Quran for the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلِقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you have the best awsaf, khulq, moral, okay, or manners, ethics. So one of the reasons that Allah sends the prophets is to perfect the best attributes, the best qualities.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So inshallah, refer to the Tafasir book since our time is running out. So we don't have much time to explain more. inshallah, you'll go to the tafsir book. Inshallah, you will learn. All right? So it's time to go to the tajweed part. Ready?
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, we'll mention some important tajweed rules, inshallah, for you. And make sure, inshallah, you listen carefully and learn them, inshallah. So the first important tajweed rule here is laqad, the letter dal, which is sakin, and you produce an echoing sound. Laqad, right?
Yes.
Manna Allahu, manna nun mushaddad. You should produce a nasal sound, idgham sound, and also prolong it for two counts, right? Laqad manna Allahu. The word Allah is pronounced this way. Allah heavily. Why? Because there is a fatha sound before. So if you have a fatha sound before the word Allah that we have here on the letter noon, you pronounce the word Allah with a heavy sound. Yeah, the letter lam is pronounced with heavy sound, with full mouth. If you have a kasra, yeah, you pronounce it lightly, like bismillah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ. Pronounce the letter dhal correctly. Ba'atha, tha correctly. Fihim, rasulan min. Rasulan, tanween. After the tanween, you got a meme, the letter meme. It means you should join them, okay? Rasulam, merge them. Tanween with meme. Rasulam, nasal sound also. Min, anfusihim, min. Nun sakin plus hamza. You should clearly read the noon, min. But the next noon, right after the hamza, that's as well sakin. Anfusihim, right, Hussein? Anfusihim. So that noon sakin is hidden. You should hide the sound because sin is fa is there, right? Yes, fa is from the rest of the letters, you should hide. Min anfusihim, rasulam min anfusihim. Got it?
Yes.
يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا نون ساكن plus كاف. You hide the sound of نون. وإن كانوا من. Again, نون ساكن plus كاف. إخفاء. Again, hide the sound. من قبل لنفي ضلالٍ مبين ضلالٍ مبين. You got a tashdid and meme as well. So merge the sound. Got it? So, now that you know the tajweed rules, Hassan Hussein and Ali Nasir, I will recite once. Make sure, inshallah, you listen carefully and repeat after me. Ready?
Yes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم
أحسن رسولا من أنفسهم right okay إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم
إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم
ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين
ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. That's from us for today. And inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions tomorrow at the same time. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
listeners, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this verse of the Holy Quran regarding supplication. The 186th verse of chapter Baqarah reads, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my servants ask you concerning me, then I am very surely near, and I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Then they should answer my call. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And they should believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That they may walk in the right way. Regarding this very verse, dear listeners, in the previous episode, we mentioned a couple of points this verse refers to, that we are not going to go over them again. But the important point that we concluded in the previous episode was the fact that the verse is mentioning different constituents for the true and real kind of supplication. The true supplication is the one which has three constituents. The supplicant who should have certain conditions for his supplication, the Almighty Allah, or the Mad'uv, the invoked one, and the very important one, the attraction between the supplicant and the Almighty Allah. This is the most important constituent. Now, regarding each of these constituents, there are many points to be discussed. Now, we will deal in more details with each of these constituents so that we can use supplication with more insight, so that we can take a benefit from this treasure, which is of great significance to God's servants. So, we said that one of the conditions for the supplication is for the supplicant to be sincere. It means that he should call only God and no one else. Because the Holy Quran says, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Therefore, call upon Allah, being sincere to Him in obedience. Because a servant of God should not assume that anybody else could help him except God. He must know that he has got no one and nothing else to turn to. His heart should be ready to invoke the one and the only God about his needs. He must be ready to tell him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his untold and hidden secrets. He must be ready to disconnect himself from any means other than Almighty Allah. And if he sees that the superficial means is effective, he should realize that the effector, that the influencer, that the absolute cause beyond all these benefits, beyond all these effectiveness, is God. It is the Holy Quran that we read. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Oh, who answers the distressed one when he calls upon him and removes the evil?
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javob onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ob onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ob kamju tishnagi ovar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad obaz bala vakas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, dear listeners, a non-afflicted and a kind of non-depressed person does not know who the real manager of the affairs is, but an afflicted one. But the person who is depressed and salvaged knows that the initiation and the end of everything is God alone. A real monotheist considers the others as a means to get to one's goals and knows that God has appointed them only as intermediaries. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam invokes God by saying, واجعلني ممن يدعوك مخلصا في الرخاء دعاء المخلصين المضطرين لك في الدعاء. Oh my Lord, make me among those who, when at ease, invoke you like the supplication of the distressed, sincere ones. This means this status of being distressed, this status of being in the state of iltirar, will bring about closeness, will bring about and cause the closeness of respond from the Almighty Allah. And one point, dear listeners, we said previously that in this verse, the Almighty Allah uses no intermediaries. We said that one of the points in that verse, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ, is that the Almighty Allah says, I will answer. He refers to himself by I, and he introduces himself as the responder to the supplication. He introduces no intermediary. So he says, when you call unto him, he will answer you. But when we here say that the true supplicant knows that if there are other effective means between him and the Almighty Allah, there are appointed as intermediaries by the Almighty Allah. This does not mean that there are intermediaries in when we want our supplications to be responded to. No, this means we must use the intermediaries in our lives, but at the time of supplication, we can directly call our Lord. And what is more beautiful than this? That we, salvaged, distressed, sometimes, most of the time, disobedient servants, we are allowed to talk to our Lord and call unto him, and he has promised to answer our calls, of course, when the conditions are met. This is the omen of the vast ocean of mercy of the Almighty. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
To you throughout my life, Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha. IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page.
We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. We have Brother Suhail as the guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suhail. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me in the show.
Okay. According to Islamic beliefs, everything is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the crimes that are taking place in Palestine, are is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not?
So we are people that are, as Muslims, we are someone, especially the Ja'fari sect, the Shi'is, Ithna Ashari, we believe that we are, from the narrations of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are Amr bayn al-Amrayn, you see? So we do not say that Allah has given us the power and He is out of control of it, or we don't say that everything is under Allah and we have no authority over what we do. We are somewhere in between. We say, we have that verse of the arrow, Wama Ramita, Idh Ramita, that says that while you think that you are shooting, it's not you who is shooting, but it is us who is doing the shooting. Here it wants to say two things. Allah has given us freedom of choice. So that is Allah's part. What we do with our freedom of choice, that is our part. So that's why when we say that Allah has control in whatever we don't say that He's making us commit sins. That freedom of choice removes me from the power that Allah forces me to do everything. And the concept of hell and heaven becomes useless. So here we see that everything is in the power of Allah, but we need to understand that there is a concept of freedom of choice where Allah has given this freedom to everyone. And a person is never, as a human being, as I said in the previous question in regards to the soul, some of the people that have freedom of choice, they work on the demonic side of the soul. Others work on the animalistic side of the soul, which is completely following their desires. And some use their intellect. So those who are working on the animalistic side of the soul, they would do something, and that would be a cause that would cause different kinds of effects. So, for example, you see, kids are dying, children are dying, elders are dying. You have seen the swap between prisoners. You see the Islamic way of imprisoning someone and the non-Islamic way of imprisoning someone, where the person that is living the Islamic prison is saying, "Thank you." You see, saying goodbye, mashkura. You see, and the
even hugging the guards. Yeah. That's right.
So we have seen the Thai brothers, the Thai nationalities that were released. They came, they hugged, they gave hand. You see, an elderly woman thanking the army of how they were treated. In short, what you see right now is what Islam is in its essence. Just it's how a person perceives it. You see, so we have this, we know that even though everything is in Allah's control, He has given us this authority to be able to choose which path we want to go. And that's why we choose our path the way we wish to move forward.
Okay, thank you very much for answering this question, Brother Suhail. Let's take a break, and after our break, we get to another question for today's discussion.
No
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions.